Wednesday at this time is Vents Day on the Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. This week's topics, more about college and college costs and who should go, and preserving Social Security. Join us at 800-838-3760 with your thoughts. There's no guest. It's just you, front and center. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or comment on our Facebook page. Let's start with the system we all pay into and hope at least someday to draw something out of, and that's the Social Security system. Social Security just had a major birthday. It turned 80 years old in August. Now the attention is on whether it'll be around for another few decades, let alone 80 more years. As the American population grew, the ratio of people drawing a Social Security check to the people paying into the system was robust. Now, as the American population ages and many more people retire, fewer workers are paying in and more people are taking out. We've heard for years that it's not sustainable, but ideas like the Bush administration plan to allow people to play the stock market crashed and burned in Congress. Social Security is still the third rail in American politics. Talk about changing Social Security, you're in almost instant political trouble. So help the politicians out. How do we keep the program around for future generations? And what do you see as a fix? Little tweaks? Or major uprooting and rethinking of the entire system? 800-838-3760 to comment on Social Security, or who should go to college and how they pay for it, or jx@jeffnet.org, or on our Facebook page. And look for the Vents Day 9-2 header and place your comment under there. Let me flesh out the Social Security issue, rather the college issue, a little further, because this piggybacks on an earlier segment with Peter Capelli about college, with a specific focus on college costs. You've heard many times over how much it costs and the fact that people who owe money for student loans now owe more than $1 trillion collectively. Universities, especially state universities, say they had to raise tuition. Tax revenues declined sharply over the last two decades. So how to fix this? How to bring tuition down or bring grants up or something else, and how? And who should go? Who's college good for? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org or on Facebook. A whole bunch of calls already lined up. Let's go to Peter in Medford first. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. Go ahead.
Good morning, Jeff. This is Peter, and I'm of an age where I was in college in the late 60s. I wanted to share a couple of financial ratios with people. I had a work-study job. I cleaned bathrooms, and I checked out books at the college library. They were real jobs, kind of hard work and no particular fun. And they paid about $2 an hour when I was a freshman, and about $2.20 an hour, or $2.30 an hour by the time I was a senior, and had gotten really good at cleaning bathrooms. I say that because tuition at the most expensive colleges in America then was about $1,800 as a freshman and $2,000 a year as a senior. These were schools like the Wharton School that your previous caller had been on. Mm-hmm. The most expensive colleges in America was calling $2,000. If you do a little math, 900 hours of those work-study jobs, cleaning bathrooms and checking out books, equaled an Ivy League college tuition. Now, SOU and other state schools call themselves kind of affordable, but tuition is about $7,500 a year for a full-time student, and the equivalent sort of job would pay about $850 an hour currently, which is about 900 hours. In short, the state universities in Oregon are about as expensive as Ivy League colleges were 40 years ago. In fact, if you do the math on Ivy League colleges, which are now $50,000 a year, you divide that by 900, those work-study jobs would have to pay about $70 an hour to net after taxes. And obviously, they don't pay $75 an hour. They pay about $12 an hour. Sure, college has become awesomely less affordable, and if there's a political fix to it, it's for the general public to understand the value of public education and to make them affordable once again.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate that. And so let me just put put Peter's version of his story out to people who might be in college now. or who have recently gotten out of college. Is it possible to cover your costs with a work-study program or come even close? Join us on the Jefferson Exchange on Wednesday. Talk about college, who should go, how we handle the costs, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Our other topic, of course, is Social Security. It just celebrated its 80th birthday. How do we keep the program going for another 80 years? How do we keep it going for another 20 years, the way some people talk? A couple of comments here. Joe and Talent writes in, I think it's insane to promote anything other than providing as much college education as possible, despite the trade, as in the trade you go into. Having a plumber with a little college under their belt is much more advantageous than one who never finished high school. It also gives them the tools to run their business successfully and at least balance their checkbooks. This push to dumb down the population is an unfortunate trend we see being pushed by some politicians. That from Joe in Talent. We have another comment here from Dennis in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. Say, I have probably a different opinion here. And what it is this. I think that our colleges are obsolete.
Really?
And I don't think that people should go to college anymore. I think that our basic education system completely is out of touch and irrelevant. And the reason I say that is because we're not teaching people how to think and how to love to learn. We're only teaching people how to get from one grade to the next, or in the case of college, how to get through a college degree and then try and go get a job that they're not going to have anyway because of the way our economy and the modern inventions of today that have to do with robots and computers.
Because they do the jobs that we used to do, you mean?
So if people don't have a love for knowledge and they don't know how to learn, they're not going to be able to learn anything in our new world. Because those kind of places where you go sit in a big room with a bunch of kids your age and then go get drunk afterwards and go to the football game, they're coming to an end.
Hmm.
And so we need to redo everything, not just the cost of college, but what learning is all about and what the people of the future are going to need to know. And they're going to need to know how to think and how to make good decisions with the information that they can get from everywhere, right in their hand. They have all the information in the world almost.
Hmm. That's a good point. I mean, we don't have to go to the card catalog or the Reader's Guide to Periodical Literature anymore. Everything is right in front of us, and now the question is what we do with it. Thanks for the comments, Dennis. Very much appreciate it. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. This week's two topics, college, whether we should go, what it should look like, and how we pay for it. That's a big issue, is the college costs and how to keep those down. Join us on the Exchange with your thoughts on that at 800-838-3760 or email jx@jeffnet.org. Or write your comment on our Facebook page under the Vince Day 9-2 heading. And our other topic is Social Security. Just celebrated its birthday. It's 80 years old as of the month of August. And we're wondering how we go about keeping it around for another 80 years. Here's where your thoughts and comments come in. Vent at 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or on Facebook. Here's Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Thanks, Jeff. I'll solve Social Security in just a second, but I have a comment about work. You know, between my junior and senior years in college, I worked on an oil rig. That was a real job in the real world, and when I went back and walked around that campus, the people I looked at were just clueless, and it took me several weeks before I fell back into the clueless college outlook. The reality of having a real job is so much more educational than several years in college that I think people should be compelled to stay out of further education for 2 years while they get their feet on the ground. Now, about Social Security, it's real simple, folks. If we just follow the law instead of the law as amended by rich folks, it is solved. Just remove the cap that prevents the rich folk from paying their percentage of what is mandated for Social Security. If you remove that cap, The Social Security is solvent into the far, far future. You just got to stomp on the greed heads. It's greed heads again that are ruining it, folks. So simple as that.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Grumpy John. Appreciate that. And there is, in fact, an income cap in the sense that you only pay into Social Security up to a certain income level, and after that, your income is no longer encumbered by payments to Social Security. There's a maximum amount you will pay in then, is the point. And what Grumpy John is saying is remove the cap so that people can pay in whatever their income dictates up to whatever level. Join us on the exchange with your thoughts about saving Social Security and about who should go to college, how we construct college, and how we pay for college. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email, or place your comments on our Facebook page. Annette in Eugene writes about college. She says, part of my college experience was to spend every winter break writing for grants and scholarships for the next year. I attended LCC, Lane Community College, and the University of Oregon. Came out with a master's degree and owed $6,000. You don't have to go into big debt. That from Annette in Eugene. Here is Ron in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. How you doing, Jeff?
Good. How about you?
Good, good. Listen, my comments are in some ways connected to both of these issues. I mean, and that's because I think there's a very broad and extensive ideological, philosophical, if you will, battle going on in this country about what government should do and who should pay for it. And when we came out of World War II, there was such a sense of nationalism and a sense of rebuilding. There was a sense that we're all in this together as a group. And the idea, the concept was that the next innovation, the next genius, the next person who could really fulfill our groups might be somebody who's poor, living in poverty, but never had the opportunity to go to college or get noticed and to extend that education if there wasn't some support or some help. And the idea was that the better educated the citizens were, the better they'd be able to participate in our democracy, and we get better decisions out of the process than we would otherwise by people who were either less educated or uneducated. And so the idea was, let's provide college to anybody who wants to go that can meet even some relatively minimal benchmarks, because our entire society is going to benefit from that on multiple fronts. And that was the concept. And that concept was pushed through and went through fruition, much like the concept of Social Security. We're all in this together. We need to take care of our aging population. They should be living in poverty. They should be able to retire in dignity after giving all they've given for all the years for the common good and for the good of the country, as well as themselves, obviously. Well, that's been under attack. That concept has been under attack. It's been under attack primarily by those folks who see themselves as paying most of the taxes, and they don't want to do it because they've got theirs, they've made theirs, they can send their kids to college, they can take care of themselves. Why should they take care of somebody else's kids or somebody else's situation? Mm-hmm. And so here we are. And so to the extent that those people have won out on the college front, which I think largely they are winning out on, because it's very difficult now to get to college if you don't have the means, the resources, or the connections. And I think that they've been under attacking Social Security with the same concept, the same ideology, kind of the Ayn Rand ideology. And if they continue to succeed as well as they've done on the college front, Social Security is in trouble. I mean, I agree with the previous caller that raised the cap, lift the cap on Social Security, and we saw a lot of our profits for the almost 80 years beyond where it is now. Mm-hmm. The same thing that happened with the colleges. The reason I read these articles in the paper, letters to the editors and things complaining about how colleges are turning into businesses and how they're marketing themselves through building fancy facilities and through their sports programs and so on. But heck, we're the ones that turn them into businesses. We're the ones that pull the rug off from underneath them for public funding. What do we expect them to do for Pete's sake?
All right, Ron.
So for me, we have to get back to the concept of we're all in this together and figure out how this is a collective good, sending our kids to college and providing Social Security.
All right, Ron, thanks for that. Appreciate that. Probably a few people will be shocked by the use of the term collective. That certainly does scare a few people on the conservative side of the political spectrum because they see visions of the Soviet Union or something. But, you know, the idea that we do work on things together because we are together better than we are separately is at the heart of what Ron was just talking about. And his comments are echoed on a couple of fronts, on a couple of other contacts here from Becca in Junction City, who talks about the Social Security cap as well. She says, just increase the amount of income taxable. Make all earned income taxable, says Becca in Junction City. Emily in Ashland, writing about higher education, says, although many people have received grants and scholarships in the past, recent state divestment from higher ed has forced institutions to place the burden on students' backs. This means many students have to take out more money in loans than has ever been seen before, and many students are actually being priced out of higher education. Until the state reinvests in Oregon public higher ed, students will continue to graduate with massive amounts of debt and will be paying them off for most of their lives. That from Emily in Ashland. The issue with higher education costs, as you're well aware, particularly at the state universities in both of our states, when property taxes shifted and were reduced largely in both Oregon and California, the effect over time was that less money came from the state budget into the state universities. And where the state universities in Oregon used to be funded at about 70% of their budgets, it's generally under 20% these days. So a big shift there, the difference being made up in increases in tuition. Your thoughts, please, how we take care of a higher education, how we pay for it, what higher education should even look like and who should go, and how we save Social Security. Just a few small issues here on Vince Day today. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email, and our Facebook page is standing by, too, to take your comments under the Vince Day 92 heading. Let's go to Steve and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Buddy, at 70, I am on Social Security, and, of course, it bothers me that all these people are claiming it's going bankrupt and so on. And I agree, you got to lift the damn cap. And also, above and beyond that, why should we pay Social Security to Warren Buffett, for example? He's doing fine on his own. There should be some kind of a means testing as well as lifting the cap to, you know, equal out, well, create what all these Tea Partiers are claiming they want, a level playing field.
Mm-hmm. That could be a real tough political reality, Steve, the idea of paying into a system with no limits to what you pay in and then being denied the ability to take anything out of that. That's probably a political non-starter, but bring it up again. We'll see if it sticks with somebody in a legislative position to do something about it. Steve and Eugene, thanks for your comments. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Social Security and college, the two topics. Let's go to Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning. I turned on my radio this morning and said, what's that noise?
Oh,
I'm
yikes.
Glad you guys are back on the air over here. I have to agree with Grumpy John on most of that. I worked my way through college twice, and I'm not fishing for his title, Grumpy.
Ah, okay.
I'm better
natured. Just keep it just at Paul, okay.
But the long and the short of it is, yes, I think that coming in with some kind of paid work experience program is a good thing, and this is going to tie into where I'm at with Social Security as well. So I'm gonna switch fire to Social Security and build all of the arguments, even though they apply to both. And the last 30 years of our society, polity, and economy has been about the monetization of everything, finding a way to make money on everything, finding a way to get it into the stock market. Banks used to hold their home loans and locally, and now they're sold as bonds, et cetera, et cetera. The same thing with student loans. The minute it becomes big business, you've got a huge problem. This is the same thing that is being attempted with Social Security. And the monetization piece is one aspect of the problem. John is right, as is your previous caller, that the cap needs to come off of Social Security. Means testing probably will wind up becoming a part of it. It'll become rationed like anything else is in a scarce environment.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece, though, that is not being faced, beyond the fact that the Congress has raided the Social Security Trust Fund shamelessly again and again and again and again to balance budgets or do whatever they're going to do on pet projects, is that there's a demographic bulge, and the whole system was essentially based upon having more people working and paying payroll taxes than people collecting benefits. And we're going to be in an inverted position in there demographically at least for some time. And that's the real elephant in the room that people aren't talking about. The other elephant in the room is that businesses continue to work at making people no longer subject to employment taxes. This is the independent contractor thing. It's what's gone on with Uber and a number of other programs. And coming back to the educational piece, unpaid internships. Everything is moving away from the employers having to pay payroll taxes, even though the largest share of the taxes paid in payroll taxes are paid by the employee. That's the whole problem in a nutshell. So the solutions, paid work experience is part of a college education, in my opinion, is vital. Lifting the cap on Social Security is vital. Taking back the high ground on the treatment of people as employees versus independent contractors and freelancers, and finally replenishing the trust fund for the money that's been taken from it.
Okay, all good ideas. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tony and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning. First, may I correct your previous guest, who I thought would probably be quite smart since he went to the Wharton School, like Mr. Trump. But he made an error. Although he went as educated in England, he may have had free education when he was there. It is no longer free in England. It hasn't been since 1998.
Okay, fair point.
So they are very much more selective. None of this racial preferences or anything like that there. They just choose the best. But there are fewer people get degrees. But I wish it had been free. I would have...
would have been nice for
then
you.
Then Andrew there, so my son. Anyway, the actuarial basis for Social Security sounded quite sound when it was conceived in 1935. The basis was that you contribute from, say, the ages of 18 or 20 till you retire at 65, and then you, because of the longevity at the time, you die around 67. So the payout was only for a couple of years. Now it's work from probably 22 or maybe even 30 to 67, and we'll take care of you till you die around 80. It just doesn't make sense. Now, I know that the politics of envy is very popular on this show, but simply putting a cap simply removing the cap, rather, would only be fair and would be only true to the original concept if you equally made sure at the other end they were able to reap the benefits, prorated up to their contributions.
So, in other words, it's based on what you put in, not just a percentage of...
Well, the reality is that we are always... The young pay for the old. And the fact is that when it started, there were about 12 or more people contributing to the every pensioner that was getting money out.
Right, and now it's about 3-1 and heading to be 2-1. All right, Tony, thanks for that. Appreciate it. This has been Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. A couple of comments we didn't get a chance to get to. We'll stick those on our Facebook page. So thanks to Amy and Jay for your comments, and thanks to Ryan for hanging on the line. Sorry we didn't get to you. A lively discussion again. Thanks for listening to Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange.